and we hear Nora Barrows Friedman with her weekly podcast on Occupied Palestine. At 11 on Between the Covers, we speak with the founder of the Between the Covers program, Sharon Wood Wortman, a.k.a. The Bridge Lady, about her new book, The Big and Awesome Bridges of Portland and Vancouver. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, the guest is law professor David Trout, author of The Price of Paradise, The Cost of Inequality, and A Vision for a More Equitable America. But first, stick around. Chris Andre is waiting in the wings with Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary next on KABU.
KABU members, what's your vision for your community radio station? How do you see the mission of KABU? The KABU Foundation has a programming charter and strategic plan, and now it's time for a mission and vision statement to help direct our policy and inspire the community. From now through May 15th, we're inviting member input on our website. Visit kboo.fm/survey2015 to take our survey. You can also read up on our programming charter and other guidelines and find frequently asked questions at the same page, kboo.fm/survey2015. Or you can pick up a copy of the survey at the station. And on Saturday, May 30th, we'll be hosting a mission and vision retreat for members. If you'd like to attend, get in touch with Monica Beamer and RSVP. The email address is monica@kboo.org. Thank you for being an active member of KABU.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, May 7th, 2015, and it's the second day of our spring membership drive. Thanks to so many people who called and supported this program, and we want to encourage everyone to take that step. It's not a big step, but it's critical to our functioning, to our continuing to provide programming like this. You are, of course, listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Matt Stannard. Matt is a member of the board of the Public Banking Institute and the policy director at Economics USA. What he has written recently is exactly what the nation needs to hear right now. Material responsibility, what the banks did to Baltimore. There is no shortage of pundits condemning the riots in Baltimore. There are also plenty of well-meaning people focusing solely on the disenfranchisement of particular pockets of the city, as if the human beings suffering there were characters in some morality play. That's a quote from a piece that Matt just put out, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about that in just a moment. He'll be on the line. He is joining us, I believe, from Baltimore. Obama, it will be, as we all know, at the Sentinel Hotel downtown. And if you miss that, Obama will be at the Nike headquarters in Beaverton tomorrow. This is, of course, many opportunities. If you haven't been an activist before, now is probably the right time because of, as Elizabeth Warren has said time and again, and most very recently, I believe, in the Washington Post, the fine print, the investor state dispute settlement, the ISDS, is the name, sound mild, but it is an enormous new treaty that would tilt the playing field in the United States further in favor of big multinational corporations. Worse yet, it would undermine U.S. sovereignty. It would allow foreign companies to challenge U.S. laws and potentially to pick up huge payouts from taxpayers without ever stepping foot in a U.S. court. It is a truly an alarming fact, might be a fact of life, should we allow fast track to pass. I'm going to give out at the end of the show phone numbers for Senator Ron Wyden. He's a key linchpin figure in much of this debate. But right now, more importantly, let's talk about Baltimore public banking and how we can fix the mess that we are in. Good morning, Matt. Thank you so much for being back on the KBOO airwaves. We really appreciate your joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, public banking. We want to talk, of course, about this recent piece that you wrote, What the Banks Did to Baltimore. That's very critical. Very important to understand that today. Bring everybody up to speed, if you wouldn't mind, please, on public banking, and then let's get into how this pertains to the violence and the unrest and the misery in Baltimore. Though it is indeed, pundits have talked in the past about the war on the poor, and if this is not exactly a case in point, this is a real war in a real place affecting real people. But first up, public banking. Briefly, what do we need to understand about that?
Well, the easiest thing to understand about public banks are that they are banks that are owned by the community that they are in, whether it's the state, as in the case of the state of North Dakota, where the only public bank in the United States is right now, but also they could be owned by cities or counties. And being public utilities rather than private entities, they don't have shareholders, and so they are used to finance various public goods, whether that's city services, whether that's small businesses, student loans, et cetera, at low or no interest. And then the dividend that is paid back to the banks goes directly back into the community treasury. So, again, you're not padding Wall Street, you're not padding any private interests. And it allows local communities basically to generate credit, which is vital to these, especially to communities like Baltimore and other cities. And it allows the charters of those banks to direct the money towards the public good.
You talk about generates credit, especially in the case of Baltimore. What impact would that aspect of public banking have on this extremely distressed community?
Well, if you read my article, which is based on really fine research that other authors have done, you see that there's a couple of things that the big banks have done to Baltimore that have been particularly brutal. The one is the LIBOR scandal in which big banks manipulated interest rates and trapped a lot of cities into very risky financing schemes, derivatives, interest rate swaps, etc. And then having manipulated those interest rates really drove those communities into poverty and forced the communities, especially Baltimore, to close down and eliminate a lot of its infrastructure and city services, which caused unemployment, which caused a great deal of alienation and poverty. Then the second thing is also related to what the banks did, and that is the role of big banks and big finance in the mortgage debacle that began in 2007 that everyone knows about. And in that case, you had mortgagers taking risks with other people's money and again tying a lot of those into risky derivatives. And some of it is rather complicated, but I think the main message point is that these big banks have incentives to trap cities as well as individuals into very risky financing schemes. That's the nature of the profit motive in the big banking system. And so our argument at the Public Banking Institute, as well as Commonomics USA, is that there are more sustainable and transparent and democratic financial practices that could be achieved through local community banks that would hopefully save these cities from, you know, basically being in debt for years and years to Wall Street. And David Sirota has done some great work as well about how the big banks are also robbing cities of their pension funds and charging outrageous interest rates that, again, is bleeding some of our some of the biggest cities in America, bleeding them dry. And then what's left is the shell of what these cities once were. And that's the context in which a lot of this alienation and a lot of this violence takes place.
You write that that public banks, and you've spoken about that just now, would create a lending economy and a real estate economy that would completely transcend the tired and mean-spirited debate. It's true. Public banks would be indeed the actual physical manifestation of economic democracy. This in the context of Baltimore, it raises the question that is it too late, and how public banking would play? How would it play a role if this became a reality for the people of Baltimore? How could it play a role in rebuilding the city, rebuilding trust and more stable social architecture?
Yes, I can never think in doing the things I do in my life that it's ever too late. And actually seeing the people of Baltimore right now, and particularly groups like Leaders for a Beautiful Struggle and other grassroots groups in Baltimore, I absolutely know for sure that it's not too late. They're doing an excellent job of having a conversation there that in many ways only they can have. The role of public finance in that rebuilding it would be very much analogous to the role that the Bank of North Dakota plays in helping North Dakotans recover from the flooding disasters that occur periodically there. Whenever there's a flooding disaster in North Dakota or a farming disaster, the Bank of North Dakota immediately funds and backs funding from the local community banks there to do short-term, low-interest loans and other services, as well as using the dividends that are placed back into the state budget to do aid programs. And you can really rapidly fund the rebuilding of communities when the bank that you're working with has a charter that is devoted to public service rather than devoted to profit.
And thank you. Hang on a second. We're pretty much at the end of the time that we have today. We're in the middle of spring membership drive, so talking about public banking is particularly relevant. Yeah. I want you to, if you could just let listeners know, the article that we're speaking about is Material Responsibility, What the Banks Did to Baltimore. Just to let listeners know, Matt Stannard is a member of the board of the Public Banking Institute and the policy director at Commonomics, and we'll post ways to connect with these organizations on the KBOO website. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it. We now go to another form of public financial good, and that would be, of course, your very own KBOO Community Radio. Lynn Marlick is with us, as is Annie Haynes, the volunteer director here at the station. I want to thank you so much. Also, I need to thank Rock Bergeron, engineer of the show today. Thanks for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand and support this type of programming.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for doing this type of programming. It is so important. This is Ani, and I am excited to be here raising funds and raising support for Air Cascadia. Chris comes in every day of the week producing this hard-hitting 12, 15, you know, something like that, minute newscast with commentary, with news, with analysis. And the thing I really appreciate is that she digs deep. She gives the underlying context of today's headlines. You know, we're looking at the economic devastation that banking policies leave cities in, leave communities in, the sort of wrecks that the for-profit banking world wrecks on our communities. So we're asking you right now to do something, to take action that strengthens our communities. and is the antidote. It is pooling our resources together in support of KABU Community Radio, the platform for so many voices, so many issues, so much culture and information and news. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. 877-500-5266. Or online, you can give securely at kboo.fm. You are the person that gets to decide how much to budget KABU in. If you can give in a monthly way, we would so appreciate that. You can do it on your credit card or straight out of your checking account. Whatever's easiest for you, for $5 a month or more. Isn't that right, Chris?
You really don't notice it. You really, it makes no difference whatsoever.
We've both been giving that way for quite some time.
But it makes a huge difference. It is definitely a geometric progression here. What may be very little to you might, is in our terms, goes a long way. Every dollar that you give to KABU, we multiply that by a factor of two or three or even more. It is a form of public banking because you are investing in a healthy economy. A healthy economy. Right, Lynn?
It's Annie, actually, Annie? But it's okay. We look alike.
I can't see anyone out there.
It's that removed by three rooms thing. Anyway, we are, in fact, yes, that is absolutely right, Chris.
Let's think in those terms of a healthy economy. I could name many, many other stations that do not have this type of healthy, listener-supported type of financial structure.
And while you're talking about participation, you know, we want your participation. Don't just be an active, passive consumer of media. We want you to be an active participant in media. We want you to jump on in right now and do your part to become a member of KABU. You can actually join any advisory committee at the station. You vote for the board of directors. You can be an active voice in the community. We're going through a process right now of creating a